Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Alligator Alcatraz. She had Nancy and Roundup called in about Alligator Alcatraz in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. And that got me thinking. So I was reading through the Fox News Radio headlines here. And, of course, topping the list, President Trump to visit Alligator Alcatraz. President Trump is selling tough immigration policy from the gator pit, heading into the Florida swamp to showcase Alligator Alcatraz, a new high-security migrant detention center flanked by Governor Ron DeSantis and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. DHS recently posted an AI-generated meme of alligators in ice hats patrolling the site. How did I miss this one? Caroline Leavitt was telling reporters about the president's trip to Alligator Alcatraz, but instead of reading her quote, let me see, I think we've got the audio for you here. Here it is via the Trump War Room on X.
On a scheduling note, tomorrow, President Trump will travel to the great state of Florida to attend the opening of a new illegal alien detention center located at Dade Collier Training and Transition Airport alongside Secretary Kristi Noem, Governor Ron DeSantis, Congressman Byron Donalds, and other state and local leaders. We hope to see many of you there. The facility is in the heart of the Everglades and will be informally known as Alligator Alcatraz. There is only one road leading in, and there is the only way out is a one-way flight. It is isolated and surrounded by dangerous wildlife and unforgiving terrain. The facility will have up to 5,000 beds to house, process, and deport criminal illegal aliens. This is an efficient and low-cost way to help carry out the largest mass deportation campaign in American history.
Yeah, apparently the facility will house 5,000 beds and serve as a processing and deportation hub, and it's got its own airstrip for direct removals. Yeah, Nancy and I were talking about that in the 6 o'clock hour of the show as well. But when I was reading that story, I had to go on X, and I put a little survey out there. I put a poll together very, very quickly here. You guys can join in. You can give us your response, because I'm reading this story, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that some of the Democrats are already freaking out. That's mean. That's a human rights violation. You're sending them to a place surrounded by alligators. So mean. And I got to thinking about the threats that, you know, are surrounding your homes because of the Democrats' illegal alien invasion. And it got me thinking, what's more dangerous, Alligator Alcatraz or Aurora, Colorado? I'm going to go with Aurora, Colorado. Man, I'll tell you what, you're going to be far more protected. Your human rights will be much more protected in Alligator Alcatraz than they will be in Trende, Aragua, Aurora, Colorado. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think. What's more dangerous, Alligator Alcatraz or Aurora, Colorado? I put a poll out on X 5 minutes ago. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You tell me, like those great cattle auction here. Now you tell me, Alligator Alcatraz or Aurora, Colorado? What's more dangerous? Right now, 82% of the votes are going with Aurora, Colorado. So who is the 18% going with Alligator Alcatraz?
This is House Call for Health. The U.S. Postal Service is reminding consumers, don't put 4th of July fireworks into the U.S. mail system. Fireworks are hazardous materials that could unintentionally explode and injure or even kill postal workers if they're mishandled. Sparklers, firecrackers, bottle rockets, Roman candles, and any other fireworks are banned from all USPS air and ground transportation systems. The Postal Service says anyone mailing fireworks could face civil penalties, criminal charges, and other consequences. And a reminder in general from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, fireworks can be dangerous. With more than 14,000 people treated in the emergency room last year and 11 deaths. They say don't allow children to play with or ignite fireworks, and that includes sparklers. Never try to relight or pick up fireworks that haven't ignited fully. Don't use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos. Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the region today, high temperatures range from the low 90s in Bozeman to the mid-90s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay mainly clear to partly cloudy. Temperatures head back in the upper 50s to low 60s. And then on Wednesday, we can expect sunshine. Isolated shower storm chance in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, high temperatures from 90 in Bozeman to the upper 90s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have John with MSU Extension back in the house here. Hawley's your last name, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. I was like, man, I'm so bad with names, but I know it's John from MSU Extension, but I didn't have your info right in front of me. I thought I'd remember it right, because these MSU Extension agents are so helpful and always provide such great information. But hey, good to see you again.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks so much for having us on again this morning. It's been a good couple days at our conference here, and we're just right downstairs, so it was real easy. Got out of my hotel room this morning and popped right up to see you.
1,400 people are in Billings right now. Basically, ag extension folks, or either ag extension agents or folks in related fields from all across the country, all of the U.S. territories as well, here for the big conference that you guys have been hoping to land for quite some time. So if you missed our 8 o'clock hour on Monday, we got a chance to catch up with the head of your ag programs at MSU Extension, and then the Toole County Extension agent joined us as well. So
Yeah, I really appreciated that Kim and Joel made the time to join you yesterday. And yeah, this is our, so for your listeners that missed out yesterday, this is our National Association of County Agricultural Agents annual meeting and professional improvement conference. It's our annual conference. That's a pretty, that's a mouthful, but it's been a few days of learning. We started as early as Thursday with some pre-tours. We've had people in Montana from across the country. I was just telling Francisco, we had like close to 100 people from Kentucky are here just to learn, network, and engage with us, participate in professional development, and everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, and this is really cool, too. I was having so much fun just quickly chatting in the hallway here with Francisco Gamboa Herrera, and he comes all the way from Costa Rica, but he's actually the Yellowstone County Extension agent for MSU Extension. Francisco, what an honor to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you, too. It's pleasure to be here today with you talking about the good, cool thing that Montana has and also the conference as well.
Pura vida, right?
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
That's our slang, yeah.
Yeah,
pura vida.
Which basically means like...
pure life.
Yeah, pure
like
life.
Everything is cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like aloha in Hawaii or,
kind of,
you know,
yeah.
Or jambo in Swahili over in East Africa. It's basically like, man, everything's good. Good morning. It's kind of like a common greeting there,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Yeah? You say pura vida for, hey, how are you, pura vida? Goodbye, pura vida. Everything is good.
Man, that's kind of a good... I feel like Costa Rica and Montana kind of have that in common. It's like the whole world can be going crazy, but if you're in Costa Rica or if you're in Montana, pura vida, life is good.
Yes, life is good. That's good.
By and large. So what's it like being the MSU Extension agent in Yellowstone County compared to your home in Costa Rica?
Well, the big thing is I already have 2 winters with me, so I'm survived. That's good.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it. So it's interesting to see how the agriculture moves the economy here, too. Because in Costa Rica, our economy is based also in agriculture and tourism. And that's what you have here in Montana. You have a lot of agriculture, big operations, a different landscaping, but also a growing economy based on agriculture, too. So that's kind of a similar, right? Obviously, with those differences.
Yeah, obviously, it's much greener, more lush down there. So you've got more grass for the cattle all year long than compared to here, where you got to move your cattle around and make up for, you know, the weather and the rangeland and more. It was so cool. I was telling you during the break, we went down for a wedding. So we splurged. We took the whole family down to Costa Rica last September, and we went whitewater rafting. And, you know, I was just driving to Big Sky, Montana last week, saw all the whitewater rafters on the Gallatin, and it reminded me of our whitewater rafting trip in Costa Rica, which was insanely cool. We were on a volcanic river, basically. I think you reminded me it was the Tenorio River, I think, that came out of the Tenorio volcano. Yep. But the drive just to get to the river was cool. They put us in the back of these cattle cars, and we're basically driving through Costa Rica cattle country. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, there were a lot of Brahma bulls, I think.
Yes, Brahman, the wide, long ears animals. That those are more accurate, get more used to the hot and the humidity over there.
Because they're like the big white bulls and cows that they brought over from India, I think, right?
Yes, those are basically, well, they are from Brazil, and also we have another breeds from Brazil, like long ears animals, wide to avoid the heat, resistant to ticks and all, and some other diseases. So, on the lowlands of Costa Rica, you can find those kind of animals. In the highlands, you will find Holstein Jersey cattle, even red or black Angus crosses. So, yeah, we're going on that way too.
Interesting. So, what was the transition like going from that type of an agricultural, you know, country to here in Yellowstone County? And what do you deal with on a day-to-day basis here in Montana?
Well, I'm still learning. There's a big change compared with my experience in Costa Rica, but I used to work with some beef cattle operations, dairy cows, water buffaloes. I used to work with coffee, pasture production, like for hay, a lot of hay. And also I used to work with U.S. company, Terminix. I used to work for them in Costa Rica, and I learned about pest control, urban pest control, like roaches and snakes and raccoons and all the stuff, rodents.
You got raccoons down in Costa Rica?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Because I got to see, I love seeing the monkeys. There were our tour guide told us, he says, you'll see the white-faced monkeys. And they're crazy white-faced monkeys, kind of like John Jackson, who joins us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then there was the howler monkeys. I was at the gym outside. It was an outdoor gym, and all of a sudden on the roof I hear, and I was like, oh, man. I was in the middle of a kickboxing class. Thought I was going to have to do it live. You know, like,
those are kind of impressive animals. the sound of the forest, it's amazing.
It just very echoes. Scary. And then they it's like one will howl, and then they'll go on down the line, tree to tree. You just hear like this chorus of.
Yeah, it's just communication between so and Cruz.
Hey, well, can you guys stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, perfect. Yeah, well, this is so cool. All right. Hey, it took a national convention to get one of our great Yellowstone County Extension agents in the house here. This is fun. Stand by. We'll talk more right after the Farm and Ranch Report from our friend Lane Nordland.
A Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's not getting much coverage, but President Trump has demanded that Israel drop the corruption charges against Bibi Netanyahu, and he's done it quite openly. It's terrible what they're doing in Israel to Netanyahu. He is a war hero and a prime minister who did a fabulous job working with the United States on Iran. He's in the process of negotiating a deal with Hamas. How could Israelis afford him to sit in a courtroom all day long over nothing? Well, as Axios points out, Netanyahu, who has delayed this for 4 years now, is charged with bribery, fraud, breach of trust, accused of accepting more than $200,000 in gifts from wealthy businessmen, and granting regulatory relief worth hundreds of millions of dollars to a telecom tycoon in exchange for favorable news coverage. But they're not going to listen to him. Oh, wait a second. The trial was just postponed for a week based on national security information from Bibi. Coincidence? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Many people have lots of credit cards, while some just have a few. So what is a good amount to have? Well, having two credit cards from different lenders gives you flexibility. Americans on average have close to four credit cards as of the third quarter of 2023, according to Credit Bureau Experian. Credit Bureau suggests that five or more accounts, which can be a mix of cards and loans, is a reasonable number to build toward over time. Having too few credit cards can often come with potential risk or limitations, especially when it comes to your credit score. Some questions you can ask yourself when determining what's the right amount for you. Am I able to manage and pay all my bills on time each month? How do my credit card perks and rewards stack up to my spending habits? Are the annual fees worth the benefits? And are my cards diversified enough to cover different needs or emergencies? But remember, the most important thing to focus on is your spending habits and paying your cards on time. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The Montana Wheat and Barley Committee, Montana Grains Foundation, and Montana Grain Growers Association, and Montana State University are excited to announce that Dr. Blake Weidenheft, a Glasgow, Montana native, has been announced as the new Winifred Asbjornson Plant Sciences Chair in the College of Agriculture. Dale Schuler, who farms near Carter and is chair of the Montana Grains Foundation, says Dr. Weidenheft is a nationally recognized scientist with deep roots in microbiology, biotechnology, and CRISPR technologies. Schuler says this is a big win for farmers.
So the Montana Grains Foundation took up that task to create that endowment, and we raised $5 million to invest in ag research. What's so important about this is, you know, the wheat stem softlight causes somewhere between, you know, $70, $80 million in damage in Montana annually, but that pest is spreading across the United States. It started here in Montana and the prairie provinces and then into the Dakotas, and then from here it's gone to Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, even further west in Idaho and Washington. So this pest is one that we're going to focus on. You know, it's something that we're pretty excited about getting somebody with the quality and experience and expertise to tackle that.
I'm Lane Nordland, and go Bobcats.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, man, it continues to get cool here. So I was talking more with Francisco Gamboa Herrera, the Yellowstone County Extension agent, and John Hawley, who is the director of communications for MSU Extension. And, yeah, John, this was kind of cool. So Francisco was telling us how down in Costa Rica he worked for an American company that did pest control. And so this leads us into a very cool Montana topic. He's actually talking, he's been talking a lot in Yellowstone County about pest control. And one particular pest, especially the prairie dog. I know there's ranchers out there listening right now that could use some help with these pests for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, for folks listening, if you haven't contacted your extension agent, these sort of topics that we're going to discuss during this segment, that's what they're there for, to help you control pests, to help you improve your garden, your farming operation, maybe help you learn how to cook better. And so I'm going to turn it to Francisco. I want to hear, because I haven't heard about this yet. He was just telling me on the way up here for this show this morning, but tell us about your Prairie Dog Pest Control Program.
Thanks, John. I've been here for almost a year right now, and I'm basing my educational programs on the top five consultation that I receive. So basically, prairie dog control, weed ID, pesticide control, pesticide use, safety pesticide use. So yes, kind of a month ago, we had a specialist from DMDA, the Department of Agriculture, coming to and teach a hands-on workshop with producers about biology of prairie dogs, control, trapping, baiting, and the best timing, because that's the way, that's the key, timing. When and where you can bait most efficiently. So that's basically what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I've done some pest control, operations myself in the past. You know, there's nothing more fun, really, frankly. Well, you know, there could be things, but it is such a great time to go out with a nice, you know, maybe you use an AR, maybe you've got a 22. But to go out on a farm or a ranch and shoot prairie dogs, so that's always a fun thing to do here in Montana. So aside from that pest control practice, what are some of the other pest control practices, and when is typically the best time to try to deal with that threat?
Well, they are more active early spring, so that's the best time for baiting. Could be baiting. There's some CO2 injectors just to may control on the ground. There's also some kind of a gas. You can inject gas on the nest and then blow up all the things. You have to be careful because it could be a very huge boom, right? Yes, and also trapping. There's a lot of things that you can do. So basically, that's what I'm helping the producer with.
And then I think you mentioned coyotes as well. Is that another kind of pest control / predator control tool that you've been trying to help address as well?
Part of this workshop that I'm talking about, it was how to trap in, good trapping, and monitoring. Basically, also it's monitoring. Everything starts with monitoring. If you had a lot of presence, you can call the experts, and they can help you to set good places, good traps, and how to set those traps. But if you don't have that kind of level or that, I don't know how to call that, but the amount and enough presence on your land, so that's basically decision making.
Yeah, and John, of course, you know, a lot of folks in Montana know why prairie dogs are such a pest. I mean, you know, all the holes they create in the land, it can, you know, you can have livestock break legs, you know, because of the holes and everything like that. And not only then does it also tear up the land as well on top of it.
Yeah, you really have to stay on top of a variety of different pests when you're managing, you know, whether it's an agricultural operation or just a few acres of land. I mean, certainly there's people that enjoy the prairie dogs. In fact, I think we had a tour here for the conference. People went to the prairie dog town. I didn't know we had, like, I think there's a museum or an exhibit.
Big Timber, they've got the prairie dog town. Yeah. Big Timber, yeah.
That was one of our tours, apparently, or people were stopping there, perhaps. And so, you know, certainly something to consider as far as, you know, something to visit and look at. But pest control management is just a huge part of what we do in extension. And, you know, pest control management could be mites on your tomatoes. It could be something even more complex like the coyote. I mean, there's obviously a lot of things associated there. We even teach producers and provide resources on how to manage protected, you know, pests. You know, obviously we're not going to be out killing bears that are maybe, you know, targeting our cattle. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, it's that part of extension that I think is so useful, because we are that connection to the Department of Ag, to the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and then we have experts like Francisco as well.
Well, especially depending on the techniques you use, you know, you got to be careful with what you put out there on the land,
right,
because you don't want to affect, say, the bald eagle population,
yes, exactly,
or migratory birds. That's the other concern. So that's why it's really important to reach out to these extension agents and say, hey, here's my problem. What do you suggest? How do you do it? So just great insight and guidance all around. Francisco, what an honor to meet you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Hey, if you got more info to share, come back anytime.
Oh,
you know where we're at.
I will.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. John, good to see you as well. I think we've got a friend from Missoula County joining us here pretty soon as well. Maybe right now, or if not, pretty soon here.
Should be soon. Sarah Holden, our Missoula County horticulture agent, will be joining us. She's been managing the volunteers for our conference this week.
Guest here joining us probably in a few minutes. Yeah, 1,400 folks in the DoubleTree and the Northern Hotels in downtown Billings. So kind of sprawled across a couple of blocks. And, yeah, it's so great to get a chance to just see who we run into, who we get a chance to catch up with. Let's see, before I get to other topics, and then we can sneak in some of your phone calls here as well. If you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring. 406-294-0970. John Hawley with MSU Extension. So what were some of the highlights from day one of the convention, and what are some of the highlights heading into day two?
Yeah. So day one, you know, was really Sunday, but yesterday was our first full day. So yesterday we had our scholarship auction, and it was our state's night out. So I think I was mentioning to you off air that we had, you know, there's so many people from different states, but Kentucky really showed out. Kentucky really was interested in coming to Montana. So each state, you know, whether it be Kentucky, Texas, Montana, we had our own state's night out. We had an opportunity to get around Billings. And as I popped around, you know, downtown last night, there were just different groups of extension agents from different states, well represented too. You know, you'd have Tennessee over here, you'd have Florida over here, you'd have Ohio State over here. So that was last night, and you know, today and yesterday were really our typical academic and learning sessions, professional development sessions, and then we get ready for our professional development tours tomorrow.
God, I was thinking, you know, cigars are agriculture.
Absolutely.
And in Kentucky, bourbon is agriculture, right? It's value-added agriculture. If I had a little more time, we'd have to introduce some of those Kentucky folks to the cigar lounge in downtown Billings.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of them found their way down
there.
They
might have already found it one way or another. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
And I'll tell you as well, Montana beer has been well displayed, well showcased this week. Certainly a lot of the breweries and such have been visited by our folks.
Well, that's an agriculture story, of course.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, right here in the Billings area, you've got, you know, Miller Coors and the barley they got here. I remember we did a tour up north of Great Falls and Power, and you'll get the honey, the local honey produced out of there. They might mix into a beer, or they might use it. I think Willie's Distillery out in Ennis has used Montana-grown honey in some of his honey moonshine, for example, and things like that. So, yeah, in Montana and Texas, typically we've either been number one or they've been number one, but both of us are up there with the number of breweries per capita in the country typically. And so, yeah, again, that's value-added agriculture.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, whether it be those sort of things you might enjoy on the evening or when our people checked in, they got a Montana beef stick. And I feel bad that I can't remember the company that donated those to us. So I'll have to give you a shout out later. And then we were also showcasing lentils. That's something that before I moved here 3.5 years ago, I didn't realize lentils were a thing in Montana. But my goodness, we are passionate and we produce. I mean, those are delicious if you haven't had those.
Was it the lentil crunchers?
Yes, we've had those on display. Yeah, there's a booth giving them away. They're
those
wonderful.
Are good. They taste like corn nuts kind of, but they're lentils. They got started by Farver Farms up in Scobie, and then 41 Grains at a Circle has a ton of lentil and pea products, and they acquired the Farver Farms lentil crunchers. And, yeah, those things are a great snack, especially if you're driving down the road listening to Montana Talks and need something salty, something to just keep you awake while you drive down the road.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we've got our next guest in studio. And then, hey, we'll get to all the big news stories of the day when John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us later on in the 8. And I think he'll stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. But John Hawley, Director of Communications for MSU Extension. Yeah, you were telling us our next guest, she's basically been handling all of the volunteers. Talk about a major task there with 1,400 people attending your convention.
Absolutely. And we have a variety of different tracks. Something I didn't mention earlier is we have a lot of spouses and children here, and they're doing their own kind of fun and learning while we're professional development and having fun as well. And so Sarah Holden, my colleague from Missoula County, our horticulture agent, she's been managing a spreadsheet of really dozens of different volunteers that are helping with, you know, taking tickets at lunch, getting people to the right shuttles, answering questions at our information booth. So, Sarah, tell me about how it's been this week. It's been fun, right?
It has been so fun. I was a little, I'm a rookie. This is my first conference, and we had over 100 people within our staff, outside of our staff and specialists and folks at MSU, and then also people that were coming to the conference to volunteer. So we have out-of-state folks wanting to support this conference, and so wrangling them together, yeah, big spreadsheet, lots of tabs, a lot of highlighting, but we are checking things off, and it has gone off without a hitch. A few hiccups here or there, but nothing to get excited about. So we're really excited.
Well, you guys had your big scholarship auction last night, and you won a big pheasant hunting.
Yeah, pheasant hunting for 9 people and our dogs, and with the red carpet laid out. So we are already go and do some pheasant hunting. So by the time I left, I had about 6 folks from back home on board to go.
Volunteer to help you out. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, that's great. Pheasant hunting is one of my favorite hunts to do because you're walking around, it's fast action, and you don't have to worry about hauling something out for miles and miles on your back.
I told my daughter, no taxidermy, though, on the birds because we have several pheasants already.
You've already been. So how did you become such a big pheasant hunter being based in Missoula?
My husband, he is a big hunter, so yeah, my daughter loves to do it, so we kind of carry it on.
Family tradition, that's right. Well, Missoula is known as the Garden City, so as the horticultural expert, you kind of deal with everything, all sorts of plants.
We get, over 1,000 calls into our office. We have a plant clinic, and so we staff that, so you can bring in your spider, your what's wrong with my yellow leaves on my tree. We do all sorts of pest and disease diagnosis. And then we also help you figure out what's the best laid plan. And I always say start with getting a soil test because if you don't really know what's going on with your body, you're not going to just start throwing stuff at it. And so think about that with your landscaping, your garden. There's all sorts of different tips. And MSU, we have so many great monk guides and information. And then I actually teach the Master Gardener program. So we have a really active, involved Master Gardener community, and my time in Missoula County, really trying to grow that.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
They've got that new butterfly house there, too. That's
my office is in with the butterfly house.
Really?
So, yep, that is a project that took about 20-plus years to come to fruition, and it has been a major benefit for the community because we have the butterfly house, can go see butterflies and all the great indoor tropical plants, and then come out to the back of the building, and we have a 2.5-acre demonstration garden called the Rocky Mountain Gardens.
Definitely something to see when you're in Missoula.
Yes.
By the way, my mother-in-law, Jean Jenkins.
Oh, my gosh, that's your mom, mother-in-law?
Yeah, isn't she incredible?
Yeah, I work with her a lot.
She's incredible. We always joke that she works for the weed office in Missoula, which in ag extension, they're like, oh, yeah, she works for noxious weeds. But when most people think Missoula, like, oh, the weed office in Missoula? What kind of business is she in?
Yeah.
But no, but they do great work dealing with noxious weeds, you know, not only to support farmers and ranchers, but, you know, public lands enthusiasts. You got Mount Jumbo right there.
Yes.
How do you keep, you know, so it's about more than just supporting agriculture in, which is, of course, a huge driver of the economy, even still in places like Missoula.
For sure. And, you know, something coming out of our office and with Extension, that's, you know, the basis is educating folks. Instead of just throwing something at them like, do this, we really try to walk them through the steps so they leave not just with a piece of paper telling them what to do, but with an understanding of how do I take care of this pest or how do I plant this tree? How do I do a soil test? How do I put in these beans? What's the best way? So we really try to focus getting the education there. And once people are, they understand, like with noxious weeds, they really are present and they start seeing them, looking at the landscaping. We do all sorts of youth programming too. We've got a STEM camp coming up, so we'll be at the butterfly house. We'll be out in the gardens. So it's just great.
I was telling you, I was like, my biggest problem with landscaping is the grass that grows up. You know, even though you have the plastic and then the rocks over the plastic, it's like the grass still wants to grow right around your plants. And there's just no easy way to do it. You just got to hand pluck that stuff.
Yeah.
Like the prairie dogs, you got to try to deal with it earlier in the spring, right?
Yes. Keep on it when it's small, before it starts getting those established root systems. And then it's easier. It's just like you do a little bit each time you go out to the garden. And I always tell people, if you want to encourage pollinators, take out those rocks and put in a mulch that's more friendly, like you can get composted kind of wood bark or wood chips from your local arborist. They usually will dump those for you for free.
I was kind of thinking of doing that anyway, so that sounds like a good
plan.
Keeps
the moisture in really
well. I'll have to go in by hand, get those grass, get the grass out of there, and then maybe just dump a bunch of mulch on top of it. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
See how that goes?
I got a plan. All right, here we go. Here we go. Does MSU Extension have, you know, volunteers that will help do that for you?
No. We have master gardeners that will help teach you. But if you're a school, a nonprofit, we will utilize master gardeners to come out. We're putting in several native plant gardens around our community with Big Sky High School and Hellgate Elementary and Middle School. They have put in a garden and a native plant garden. So,
by the way, massive windstorm went through Missoula and Miles City that same summer. They got hit hard. How have they recovered from that, and how has Extension played a role?
Well, Peter Kolb, he is, you've worked with him. He, I know, has been really busy with all of that. We have a great fact sheet about after the storm and what to do if your trees are kind of broken off and different things. So I encourage you to reach out and grab one of those if you need. I lost a big tree. Arborists were so busy. We've shipped a lot of those chips out because we had I heard like 7 football fields worth of chips once we were doing all the shredding. But we also have the industrial compost facility, Garden City Compost, that the city owns. So they took on a large amount of that, but they just couldn't sustain. But it was decimating. I'm originally from Illinois, and I thought it was a tornado. I really did.
It was like 70, 80 mile per hour,
bursts of 100 plus. On top of Mount Jumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in Miles City, I mean, if anybody's ever been to Miles City, that beautiful park there by their swimming hole just has massive tree trunks, probably as big as this studio, and some of those trees were getting toppled. And then I think they're still dealing with the aftermath of that because somebody was camping from Billings, and their camper got destroyed by a tree that fell recently, I think.
We will, our city, forestry department will be behind for many, many years because of that storm. So big impact.
We see out in the national forest the pine beetle kill. How do you see that as a threat in the more urban core or that wildland interface? Do you help deal with that?
We do, yeah. We have that pest is actually with our more mild winters. It is overwintering. We have, you know, over the past 10, 15 years, see that pest really stick around more. And it's also going to smaller DBH or smaller diameter trees. And we've also see it moving on to some different species outside of pine. So it is definitely one, but it's really easy to control if you have a good program in place for your property. So if you've got more, you know, than a couple acres, reach out to Peter Kolb and he can kind of put together a plan. There's pheromones that you can put up and that basically says, hey, I'm already taken.
Oh, that interesting. Pheromone,
and so then they won't attack that tree.
Wow. It's like the anti-pine beetle hormone signal for
it's
your land.
Hey, we're our, yeah, so it's really effective. Forest Service uses that. A lot of folks have used that. And then also just like management of your trees and do you have a lot of underbrush and what does that look like? You know, maintaining a healthy stand is really important for diseases and pests.
John Hawley, I picture one of our KXTL listeners in Butte right now. They're driving north of Butte to Helena and seeing all the pine beetle kill. They're there and they're just sitting back saying, man, these forests could use a lot of pheromones out here right now.
Well, and I love that we're talking about Peter Kolb because I believe he's speaking today.
He
has a workshop, so we'll have to connect him with you, Aaron. I know y'all have talked before, I believe.
Yeah, but have him pop in,
Yeah. I mean, all these resources that Sarah's been talking about, that Francisco talked about in the earlier segment, I want to make sure your listeners know it's really easy to get them. Montana.edu/extension. That's my job. I get to promote the website.
And she may be the horticulturalist in Missoula, but you've got folks that also cover in various counties that either have a horticulture expert or they know how to reach back to the horticulture expert.
Yeah, we have Abby Saeed who does the whole state. So
that's right. We had
we're
Abby
really
on
lucky.
Before. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, great to see you. That
Thanks
was a ton of fun.
Me.
Tell my mother-in-law I said hi. Tell her to keep a handle on the weed in Missoula. All right.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app? Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs. That's music to my ears. I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Fox News Commentary.
New York City is embracing communist ideas, and it's highly disturbing. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
New York City voters support not only Mamdani, but this concept that if the government owns and controls everything, we'll all be better off. That's communism, and ask someone who's fled from communism, it not only doesn't work, it's ugly and oppressive. These overly educated, stupid people, some who I assume are well-meaning, think if the government controls your housing, your transportation, your grocery stores, and regulates or price controls private business, we'll all be more equal. What that really means is that you are beholden to the government for all of your needs. How do you think that ends for you? When the government or the city decides you don't need this or you don't need that, or when the government decides they are entitled to what you have. And if you don't give it up, best case scenario, they take it away and the things they so generously provide for you. You can be free or you can be dependent on the oh-so-generous government, but you can't be both. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the region today, high temperatures range from the low 90s in Bozeman to the mid-90s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay mainly clear to partly cloudy. Temperatures head back in the upper 50s to low 60s. And then on Wednesday, we can expect sunshine, isolated shower storm chance in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, high temperatures from 90 in Bozeman to the upper 90s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Wittek and Zinn with the win. The Montana GOP prepares for the midterms. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that story on our Montana Talks website. Or if you got the app, you would have already seen the news if you got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Plus, as predicted, the Montana congressional delegation helps block the sale of public lands. That one had to be really disappointing for the Democrats. The Democrats were
0-1942. Google Amber Earn online at listwithamber.com, listwithamber.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ooh. Oh, man, that was so fun earlier talking with Francisco, the Yellowstone County Extension agent from Costa Rica. We were talking about the howler monkeys. And then we were talking about the white-faced monkeys down in Costa Rica. And look at that, the white-faced monkey, John Jackson, in the house. Good
Aaron,
to see
I
you.
I just want you to know that I'm already on my phone here filing a complaint with HR for this blatant racism of yours with this monkey comparison and a reference to my white skin. I'm already typing it up.
You've
right
got a good tan going, though, right now. So, you know, but anti-white racism is okay. So,
That's true.
Any HR department in the world right now.
That's true. You can
be anti-white all day long. So
forgot about that.
Take that, you white-faced monkey.
That's our anti-white privilege.
That's right. Yeah. I now get the privilege of mocking you for being white because it's okay to mock people for being white. Now, those white-faced monkeys are insane. Have you ever been to Costa Rica? I know you were down South America a lot during your time, but did you ever go to Costa Rica at all by chance?
No, pretty vacation spot there.
The
only place I ever got the privilege of going were places where open sewage flowed in the streets. That's if it wasn't a place like that, I didn't get to go there.
Yeah, that's right. So, the white-faced monkeys were crazy. They were the littler guys. The howlers were the big ones. It was like, holy cow, man, I think this thing's about to jump off the roof on me here. But the white-faced monkeys were like the little crazy ones, you know, that you don't know what they're going to do. And so we were checking out of the hotel, and it's open air in the lobby area, right? And so this little white-faced monkey drops down, and then he goes over to the coffee bar area, smacks the glass sugar jar over. The glass breaks everywhere, and he's just grabbing the sugar packets and eating sugar. And so I was like, man, this monkey does not know about Billings' last diet. And so,
Oh, God, can you imagine as hyper as those things already are on a sugar high?
It's like when you bring your kids to the grandparents' house, and they start feeding them all the sugar, you know. And
I'll tell you about one of the worst scares I had in my young life. I was clearing a smuggling boat out in the middle of the Gulf in the middle of the night, and there's just two of us, and there's God knows how many of these a-holes on this boat, these bad guys on this boat, and the whole place is dark, and you got a flashlight, and I've got the bad guy in front of me in case anybody jumps up and tries to kill me. Well, as we go back through this boat, one of these little spider monkeys jumps out of the darkness at us. Oh, my God.
On the boat?
Yeah, on the boat.
Wow.
Oh, because they had him for a pet, and he was back there hiding in the dark, and this thing jumped out, and, dude, I mean, that's one of those times where you know the old thing about never have your finger on the trigger? I mean, if I'd have my finger in that trigger when he jumped out, I mean, I would have cranked off around 100%.
There would have been holes in the boat.
I mean, because you're just sure. You're already scared to death as you move through this darkness trying to clear out this place of God knows how many bad guys are still back in here hiding, and then a monkey jumps out at you.
You were like the spider monkey of X, just jumping all over the place, all sorts of crazy topics to cover this morning, I think.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, everything that's going on right now, you see the big, beautiful bill. That's what everybody's talking about. Now, did you see, as a result of that now, looks like the Elon-Trump feud is back on.
Well, Elon wants his EV mandate to continue, it sounds like, is the big thing there. Hey, hold that thought. You know, it was the other thing that was a ton of fun. Have you ever gone prairie dog hunting before?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this earlier this morning. We've been talking a lot about agritourism, and I was thinking, man, how cool would it be to take your camper and park it out on somebody's ranch and just go shoot prairie dogs for the weekend and then go back to your camper and hang out and, you know, and cook your steak or whatever, cook some burgers. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, that's the type of stuff you can do if you got your own family camper. You can have a different backyard every single weekend. It's been so fun. I think about all the places our family has gotten to go, all the places we've gotten to see by having our own family camper.
I'm telling you what, I wish I would have gotten the family camper much earlier in life. I would encourage you, go check out our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've been helping families go camping and boating since 1967. They've got the largest selection of RVs and boats in five states. They've got great locations, great people, Billings, Butte, and Missoula. And you can check out their inventory at brettsrv.com. But I'm telling you know what? You don't want to miss these opportunities in a Montana summer. This is how you get out there and enjoy it.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.